Hello. Welcome to our first full breakout session on Fluent Design. And it's an honor to be able to share what we've been learning and progressing towards with you today. Chigusa, would you like to start by introducing yourself?
Yes, of course. Hi, my name is Chigusa Sansen. I'm a senior program manager from developer platform Xamo team. And I'm also known as the crazy dog lady. But that's talk for some other time, so let's save that. How many of you in here are developers? Very many. How many of you are designers? Many too. How many of you do a little bit of both? Yeah. And how many of you are dog parent like me? You are the cool people. I've been very lucky to be part of Fluent journey from the very beginning. And I've always tried to advocate for people like you, application creators, because whether you know it or not, without you, users cannot experience Fluent. It's just like if I'm building a strong engine and wheels, but nobody's building a car with it. Nobody gets to drive it. So I'm very excited and honored to be able to present to you today the things that Microsoft Fluent community was able to do in the past year to make your life a little bit easier to make great application. Back to you, Tim.
Thanks, Chigusa. I'm Tim Allen, partner design director here at Microsoft, and I help lead the Fluent design team. And while Chigusa is running after those beautiful dogs that you saw, I have this little adorable guy.
Oh, the deck is not put my advancing.
All right.
Yeah, go back to my slide.
Yes. So this is Chigusa's great and beautiful dog.
Now makes sense, right?
Yeah, everything makes sense. This would have been an interesting talk if we kept going like that. So I help lead the Fluent design team. And just like Chigusa chases that beautiful dog around, this little adorable guy has me running around the house all day. But puppies and little adorable babies aside, you guys have been giving us really valuable feedback since we launched Fluent last year at Build. And I'm really excited to be able to share all the progress that we've made since then. You see, as a designer, I love living at the intersection of functional utility and emotional connection. It's really all about how we empower people, designers, developers, end users, to achieve more with what we create. And that's why I'm really happy and proud that the team's been working so hard to enable you to create immersive and engaging experiences that look great. But we also need to focus on adding practical value so that you can save time, so that you can do more, and you can focus on what really matters instead of reinventing the wheel. So for the next hour, we're going to go into details of why we've been evolving Fluent design. And for you to get the most out of your day here at Build, or your days at Build, we've created a series of sessions. One session is all about code level detail on how to apply Fluent. We also have a session based on case studies, so you can see Fluent in action, from design templates in Adobe XD, like Joey and Casey reviewed yesterday, to behind-the-scenes execution of Fluent in Office. So attend as many as you can. We want to equip you with as much information as possible so you can make great experiences. But what can you expect from Chigusa and I today? Well, first we're going to go into how we're enabling better customer experiences for you. This is how, what investments are we making in terms of expanding and adapting our system? Really, what have we learned from you? What have we learned from our customers? And what are we doing about it? We'll also go into what's available for you today, from new controls and new patterns to new guidance. And finally, what you can look forward to, short term in terms of other relevant talks today at Build, and longer term, what projects that we're incubating as we look forward into the future. But before we look forward into the future, let's take a step back and flash back to Build 2017. That's when we first took our first steps with you on this journey we call Fluent Design.
How are you all doing?
We call this Fluent Design.
Design is not just about making things look good, it's about making things work well.
We want to invite all of you to learn more and participate in the evolution of the Windows design system.
Very, very much, and thank you again.
So, well, that's great. We introduced Fluent last year at Build with this lofty goal to create immersive and engaging experiences across devices, senses, and platforms. We were using light to capture the user's attention and create a sense of atmosphere. We're using depth to push past and transform flat designs and push experiences into a more layered physical environment. And motion to bring experiences to life and lead your customers from one task to the next. Materials, bringing physical quality to experiences that map to your mental model of the world. And finally, scale. How do you push beyond 2D into other dimensions in terms of inputs and senses? But that was just the first step. You've taught us a lot since then, and it's clear that we've established a foundation that resonates with you, but we need to continue building on that foundation. We need to answer questions like, how is Fluent showcased in Office? What's Fluent's role outside of UWP? And what's the relationship between Fluent and ROS? Well, we hear you loud and clear, and that's why we're taking a different approach to Fluent design than we have with prior Microsoft design systems. This co-creation process that you see here allows us to transform and adapt over time so we can keep driving towards the best system that we can make for you over time. We're incubating new ideas. We're developing new technologies to systematize those ideas. We're validating them with end users. And then we deliver them to you at scale through the platform. And this allows Fluent to be defined in a series of iterative waves. Allows us to mature and make the system more sophisticated over time so you can deliver great experiences to your customers. Satya has a vision of a multi-device, multi-sense world powered by an intelligent cloud and an intelligent edge. And this world is characterized by ubiquitous, distributed computing, AI and machine learning, and a powerful knowledge graph. But now, more than ever, we need those experiences that are built on those platforms to be centered on people. The people that manage and the people that build those experiences, and more importantly, the people that use those experiences, need to be placed at the center. And Fluent Design is how we hope to address that. So we've identified three challenges that's going to guide our work going forward into this new world. We're going to build on that foundation of immersive and engaging. But Fluent isn't all about just having applications look great. It's about having applications that do more. So the second principle is being natural on each device, empowering you to create experiences that go from screens that you fit in your pocket to screens that are large and are mounted on walls, to screens that are on your lap, to screens on your desk, screens you mount on your head, to devices with no screen at all. How do you create cohesion across the system of devices? And how do you orchestrate input from touch, gaze, gesture, voice, keyboard, mouse, pen and ink, the list goes on and on. Which leads us to how do we deliver utility that's both intuitive and powerful while you're natural on each device and creating something that's immersive and engaging. So now let's take a look at the more practical work that we've been doing to address those challenges and deliver on that promise.
Like, there was so much going on. Like, you need to slow it down for me, break it down for me, and explain to me. I've got you covered. And so does Tim. But before we start, let me set ground rules for you so that you'll start seeing this video the same way we see this video with Fluent lens on. So next time when you see this video again, it will make so much more sense. Are you ready? Okay, good. Fluent Design System is a set of principles, guidelines, controls, and tools. And when collectively used, it makes experiences that's immersive and engaging, natural on each device, and intuitive and powerful. And to make things easier for you application creators, we provide fundamentals, controls, and patterns that codify those principles and guidelines, just like the ones that we provided to you in 2017. But now we have a lot more new Fluent components. And with these components, you have corresponding APIs that you can use in your applications, just like the ones that you saw in the earlier slide from last year. To find out how you are going to use these APIs and exactly how to code these pieces into your application, please go visit Paul Gusmarino's talk that is happening in the next hour. And don't worry, I have a slide at the end similar to the one that you saw earlier, which will list all the names that we are going to throw at you. because it's important that you find out about those things in collective manner. And so please go check out that talk. And we often get asked, so how many of those pieces do I need to use for my app to be fluent? Well, I wish the answer is very straightforward like that, because that would make my job so much easier. And it would be so much easier if I could tell you that you use 3 and you become fluent. You use 5 and now you're super fluent. But it's not like that. The needs are completely different depending on the application. And just like users have different needs, like you have different needs from you and you and you. In our talk, we will explain to you what those components are and why you might want to use them so you can make the determination what's right for your application. Let's get started. Commanding. Like a button that you press in your application so that your user can do something on your application. Commanding, like sit. I tell my dog to communicate to her that I want her to sit, and whether she listens to me or not is a totally different story. But commanding is very important part of your application. So you want to make your commanding very powerful and effective, don't you? How many of you here use Office at home or at work? Yeah, so you must be very familiar with this application. Don't you think Office has very powerful commanding? We think so too. So we collaborated with Office to incorporate their very powerful commanding that they invented years ago to Fluent. And in turn, they are going to start using it starting with OneNote. And if you want to find out about the journey that the Office team took with Fluent in the past year, please go to the talk, theater talk, with Chris and William from Office team, where they will talk to you about the journey they took to influence the Fluent design system and how they are now able to harness that Fluent into their application. When you open Word, what do you see? You see ribbon on top. That's a lot of command. It's like an encyclopedia of commands. It gives you all the commands that you need to do the job right on this application. It's very powerful. And then you also get mini toolbar and context menu that appears where your action is. And because it shows up in the context, it's very easy for you to reach. A mini toolbar is like mini ribbon. It takes some of those controls and provides users with the ones that makes sense in the current context. And it shows up proactively and at the right timing. In this case, I've selected a text with touch. And because I selected a text, it thinks that I'm most likely to format my text, which is most likely true. And because I touched with my hand, it gives me the right size that it's comfortable for me to touch. With our new command bar flyout, we think we can do all that and more. And one improvement that we are making is we are making this control very scalable. So for those of you who are enterprise developers who has hundreds of commands in your application can use this by taking some of those commands and presenting to the users what makes most sense in that current context. And for those of you who are creating much simpler application might take advantage of the copy and paste command that is already built into the text controls, so you can get the benefit without you actually doing any additional work. And I don't know if you noticed, but mini toolbar and context menu that I showed earlier was opening up at the same time, but it felt like two different controls because it was. We are now streamlining that by creating one single control that does all this work. And because user is able to learn this control on one application and apply that learning on another application, you can not only make your application very powerful by using it on your application yourself, you benefit from the community of applications using this control consistently. Just imagine you are a doctor and you are standing in the operating room and you do this and you get handed a tool and I didn't even have to break the task flow. That's powerful. And don't you want, just imagine that you can make your user feel that flawless inside your application. That is so powerful. And that's not all. As I mentioned, we are building command bar flyout into controls like text box and rich edit box by default. When you select the text, it will show you the collapsed version of this control. But when you select with right click of mouse, it will show you the expanded version of the control. And the behavior will be consistent. And of course, we support all the other input types as well. And command bar flyout is not just for text controls. We want you to use this when showing commands in the context of user task is beneficial for your user's task flow.
But Chigusa, that's all great for UWP. What about Win32?
That is a great question. We are working together as a company to validate some of those new technologies that you saw earlier today, a keynote and Mike Harsh mentions, called UWP Zamo Island, and seeking approaches that work for large-scale Win32 applications like Office. We are not making any commitment yet, but I can tell you that we are working together to brainstorm how we can harness the power of Office and power of Fluent, just like we were able to do with this command bar flyout control.
So commanding obviously is pretty powerful, but how can it be even more effective?
Yes, we are making some of the controls more powerful by adding Z-depth and shadow, by adding hierarchy to help user focus on the UI elements that matters now and they need to take action. Depth perception is an innate human capability. As item gets closer to you, it communicates to you that it's relatively important in the present moment. For example, a dog is running towards you, and when it's coming closer and closer, you might want to take an immediate action as it gets really close, whether you want to pet it or run away. Whereas if the dog is running away from you, you might not care, unless that's your own dog. Bye. So we are taking this advantage of this innate human perception to focus the users on what matters now. And we are also thinking of depth in a much more cohesive manner than just adding a fake shadow. We're creating a system and environment that is coherent from devices like PC all the way to devices like HoloLens to make them feel natural on each device. And we believe that our model translates very well from 2D to 3D world from design perspective. And as you can imagine, this is a long journey that we just are taking off. And we are starting with Z-depth and shadow. If you want to find out about longer journey that some of the teams in Microsoft is evaluating for depth and 3D, please go to Mike Harnish's theater talk, where he's sharing with you some of the ideas that his team is incubating that would make user experience great for 3D environment, and in turn, it's going to make the 2D experience even greater. So what is Z-depth and shadow? First, we had XY, and then we are adding Z. With Z-depth, we're bringing some of those UI, pop-up UI forward, and then we're adding shadow, because without that, you don't see any visual differences in 2D. And by bringing pop-up type UI forward, we're grabbing users' attention to promote faster time to completion by added hierarchy. And we are doing this work to build in this behavior in our command controls by default, so you don't have to do work. But if you are writing your own custom UI that you feel like it's necessary to take users' attention, and that's a type of pop-up UI, then we want you to bring those UI forward. And our shadow is very smart. It knows about where the UI element is located in Z-depth, and then it knows about where the light is, and it draws the right shadow for you. Bigger the Z-depth is, it draws deeper shadow. Do you want to find out how to use this shadow onto your UI by using Z-depth and shadow technology? Sorry, you guys have to wait. This will be presented at Paul's talk, so you might want to check that out. Do you want to find out how cool this technology is? Because this is very cool. And maybe experiment on it by understanding how to construct your scenes and customizing on it. Then you should definitely go to a talk that Danielle and Sohan is presenting to you. All those information.
So depth is used to add more layers, definitely in sort of a physical environment as well,
yep,
to experiences. What about material?
Yes. Well, we are adding acrylic, which is one of the materials, to transient UI. By using acrylic consistently, we are starting to let user expect certain behaviors from our system. When I say transient UI, these are type of UI that when you tap out of it, it closes. So by applying acrylic to those surfaces, we are adding semantic meaning to acrylic background. And it's making it relatable to the users. In contrast, we are not adding the acrylic to a surface like dialogue, because these do not close when you tap out, and you have to click a close button to close it. And also, acrylic is translucent, so it would let your color of the app flow through to give you more context. So you've asked us in the past about where we should use acrylic. There you have it. Please use it in the transient UI. However, transient UI is not just the pop-up UI. It could be an entire application as well. In this example, calculator is kind of application that you go in and do your task and come out of it. Temporarily, it's kind of an app that you use temporarily and use it in transitory way. And for those kind of applications, we believe using acrylic background is perfectly fine. And we will be updating guidance with all those informations when we make all those changes to our command controls. So please read about it and learn how to use that. And here it is, all those things that we just talked about together, put together, And we are adding those behaviors to common controls like menu flyout and combo box. By adding acrylic and depth, we are basically adding hierarchy to those users and making it relatable and coherent for the users.
Thanks, Shakuza. Well, you know, in addition to material and depth, color is another way to add interest and hierarchy to your experiences. For instance, take a look at this image. What's the first thing that you see? What jumps out at you the most? Well, a lot of you might say it's the three bold, beautiful colors. Well, that's the Office brand shining through. And we want Fluent to enable you to express your brand in the same dynamic way. So prior to this release, we would have asked you to take advantage of the Accent color model. And the Accent color model is powerful, and it's great for end users individually to customize their experiences. But we want to improve on that. And we want to do two things. One, we want to save you time from changing every single property at scale, especially. And we also want to learn from Office, who had to stretch beyond the limits of what the Accent color model could do in order to create the experience that you saw earlier. In fact, the Office team had to create and maintain a complex matrix like this just in order to understand color relationships, maintain color contrast ratio for accessibility, and continue to improve on their usability. Now, I think everyone here wants to express their brand, but I think we can all agree that we need a simpler, more powerful way to do that. So long story short, we're making the system better. We've made improvements to the platform so that you have more ways to express your brand through color. The system also enables better collaboration with you as a developer or as a designer with your developer or designer partner, so that you can align on just exactly what will be reflected in your user experience. And we hope enterprise application developers especially will love this because it's a simple, convenient way to express your brand. But color isn't just for beauty or for brand expression. Color can also act as a functional utility to guide the user's attention. Color and depth actually work together to create and maintain hierarchy and direct users' focus. Previously, we had a pretty flat design with a limited color palette. But if you could imagine that simple design applied to an application as powerful as OneNote in this fictitional example here, you may imagine that it could be hard for a user to understand the hierarchy of the application. But see how adding depth and color gives just the right amount of attention for the application to become powerful. What we've done is that we've established a meaningful hierarchy and we've directed the user's focus to the area of the application that matters the most, which in this case is the portion for note-taking. Now, we believe that this is a pattern that we'd love for you to take advantage of. Notice how your eye is drawn to the primary area of the application, which is the brightest and closest to the foreground. Now, please create your own patterns based on your individual context and, of course, your users. But we want to equip you with the understanding and reasoning behind color and depth.
That's great. So what you're telling me is that color is not just to make my application beautiful, but there's a functional meaning to it, to grab users' attention on the surface that requires their focus.
That's exactly right.
Great. It makes sense. So how are you liking all those new features so far? Woo-hoo. Yeah, good. Are you excited to find out about more? Good. How many of you use at least two pages in your UI too. Good. Because if you have at least two pages, you have to use some sort of navigation for a user to move around your application. Like commanding, powerful navigation makes your application powerful and easier to use. And if you have been following Fluent, you must be familiar with the navigation view control. If you haven't been following, or you don't know about navigation view control, you should be familiar with hamburger control. For those of you who are enterprise developers in the audience, probably are very familiar with the side navigation that application like File Explorer uses that existed long before hamburger button came about. Navigation view is like taking side navigation model and making it work all the way down to a single button. It's in a way taking all those models is making it greater. And because it's grounded on a familiar navigation model that people are already used to, it makes it easier to use your application and it makes it relatable.
Now, I hate to keep interrupting, Chigusa, but when should people use the left nav?
Yeah. So left navigation that you see here is a configuration that you should use when you have longer list of equal type choices that user needs to scan and pick the right destination. Just like email account list, this configuration makes it easier for your eye to scan. And if you look around, you see also navigation that's on top. You probably see this a lot in web and some other platform. We are adding a new feature on navigation view control to support this top configuration as well. You might want to use this top navigation view when you don't want to use left navigation view that takes up the space at all times, or maybe you don't want to hide all your navigation in a button that user have to click multiple times to navigate even though you have enough space in your UI. This UI draws more attention by creating sort of a header on top, and it's good for a shorter list of prominent choices, like in this example with store. And most of you are probably familiar with responsive and adaptive layout technology, especially those of you who are web developers in the audience, to flow your UI in different screen sizes. Navigation view embodies this Fluent fundamental to make it work great from small screen all the way to large screen in a very scalable manner. And it also uses the same pattern as command bar overflow menu, which you see on the top right-hand side corner of the screen, which drops all those UI elements as you lose space in the screen. So users have learned this behavior already with one control. So when they see it with navigation view control, they can relate, and it's very easy to use. And as a system, it's very coherent. And both the top and left navigation view control have back button built in to provide consistent look and interaction to the users. So it is easier for users to use your application.
So back button behavior is built in?
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. But should we keep using the sort of the shell back button that's in the title bar too?
That's a good question. No. So we changed our recommendation so that we want you to start drawing your own back button in your own application. There's a long story to that. We have guidance that explains the history and why you want to do that. So please go check it out. This is already available for you. And also, we built in some support like keyboard shortcut and support for Xbox gamepad into this control. So you don't have to do work, and users will get the consistent experience from you using this control.
How many people in here would consider themselves enterprise application developers? Cool, that's great. Because a lot of apps on PCs are enterprise applications just like yours. Apps that have a good bit of data density that enables people to be more productive. And previously, our focus was on phone and tablet devices, where touch was the most important input. And that required a large or extra large touch target for usability. And lately, to be honest, we've been having a lot of feedback that our UI now is just a little too big. Especially on PC, where keyboard and mouse tend to be the primary modes of input. So we need balance. So we heard you loud and clear. And now we're introducing a new standard sizing. And it's balanced for all input types. And we designed it also to work well for all device inputs as well. It's kind of like going from large Duplo-sized blocks to more compact, flexible Lego-sized blocks. The standard size is built to be extremely versatile. Here's an example of mail before. Look. And after. Here's an example of Edge as well, before and after. See how much tighter the UI is? But rest assured, we've validated this in terms of touch so that you don't compromise or sacrifice usability through our own research and usability studies. But some of you I see are saying, that's not tight enough. Well, we have you covered too. If you need a super dense experience across your whole application, or if you just need a portion of your application to be more richer in content, you can use the compact size to achieve just that. And moreover, if you want to add a little bit more space, or if you want to make things even tighter, we've created a system that's just flexible enough for you to do that easily as well. And Chigusa, I'm wondering, if people are really interested in density, where would they go to learn more about that?
I wonder if they should go to Paul Gusmarino's talk as well. So Tim, it's great that new standard UI, I'm hearing that it's a balanced design, and it works great for all the devices and all the input types and so on.
That's right.
But it's also flexible enough that if I want to use different sizes, it lets me.
Definitely, go ahead.
Great. How many of you use Form UI in your application? Yeah, I bet many of the enterprise developers do. One of the common UI that you see on Form is Form Validation. It's a useful and lightweight communication for you to communicate to your users before they even press that submit button. And another very commonly used UI pattern is text control. It's very simple but powerful control that takes input from many different input types. Input is an integral part of your application experience. Creating experience that is most natural for various input types, input devices, is something a good Fluent application would do. So we built many new features to help you do that, including things like improvements that we made for Pen that you see here, and like app mentions where you type at mark and then user is presented with choices of people and places.
So we have a great community on Twitter, and we have this activity that we call Fluent Fridays. And a lot of times, some of the conversation revolves around Fluent just being for PC, phone, and tablet. Is that the case?
No. So Fluent is for all of the devices that Microsoft supports, including HoloLens that you see here, and Xbox, and so on, all those devices. And I hope you are delighted to hear that voice input that is very natural interaction on devices such as HoloLens is supported for you without you doing any additional work. And of course, voice input is supported on PC and some other devices as well. And Tim and I talked about many built-in functionalities to make your life easier as a developers and also to provide consistent user experiences for your users. But sometimes it's a good idea to optimize, especially for those device types that might have different context. How many of you present data collection in your application? So how you present those data makes your application feel natural for different context of the application. Entertainment-like application, like the ones that run on Xbox, might present collection in a much delightful, but maybe less productive manner, and even add things like light and sound to make them more immersive and engaging for their customers. For those of you who are enterprise application creators, might choose to create your UI denser, more serious look with much more additional features that help your user perform tasks more effectively. And we are building many new features that help you visualize data collection easier. One such example is Data Grid that we are providing to you in Windows Community Toolkit. For those of you who are enterprise developers, will be probably interested in going to a talk with Ryan and Daniel, where they will talk to you about those pieces, how you can use those pieces into line of business type application. So please go check them out too.
Man, I think motion really brings experiences to life. I think we saw that in a lot of the examples before. But could you tell us a little bit more about motion?
Yep. Let me tell you about motion, because I love motion. Motion is like air you breathe. When everything is going right with it, nobody notices. But as soon as something is wrong with it, or when it's lacking, that's the first thing that people notice. And just like clean air, when things are done correctly, people appreciate your application so much better. But motion is not just about delight. Strategically applied motion makes your application more usable. For example, the connected animation that you see on the top left-hand side of the screen makes sure that user's eye follows the item during navigation for continuity. Just like when I throw a ball, my dog's eye follow, and in her case, she's most likely going to follow the ball, and maybe I might not see her again, bye. So, we are making huge improvements to the motion system to make it easier to apply motion. So you can apply motions in many of those UIs yourself. But we're also using this foundation to build in many more motions onto our default controls so you don't have to do work. And we are also updating the guidance documentation so you can learn where and what motion to apply and why you might want to do that. And speaking of guidance documentation, we are making big improvements to use more visuals and videos so that we can illustrate more of our points clearly and better. And of course, we have many codes in those pages so that you can refer to them as well. And this motion guidance is available today, so please go check them out.
Great. So what you're saying, we've evolved our guidance. We showed you how we've evolved our components as well based on your feedback. And we've even evolved our principles. In closing, we're constantly evolving to meet your needs based on your feedback. We're really expanding your toolkit of building blocks of sophisticated controls and patterns to empower you to do more, allowing you better hierarchy, better contextual control and brand expression, better usability and more coherent experiences, and adapting to device context so that we can deliver on our promise of a multi-input, multi-sense world. Our ambition is to truly enable you to create better experiences. And great design doesn't only look great, it works well. So to enable experiences, we want to build on our foundation of creating things that are more immersive and engaging, but then also natural on each device, and intuitive and powerful as well. We're taking a principled approach to support your needs as developers and empower your customers, as well as live up to your business priorities. And we've been mentioning your customers a lot, or your employees, or your users. That's because we sincerely believe that it's important to place people at the center of everything that we do. And now we're not just talking about some people, we're talking about all people. And our mission is to empower every single person on the planet to achieve more. We believe that there's truly no limits to what technology can do for us when that technology actually meets the diversity of the people that are actually using it. So that's why we want to empower all of you to be inclusive and support all your customers, regardless of physical or cognitive ability or disability. And Fluent equips you all to be inclusive of users, requiring assistive technologies like screen readers, screen magnification, and high contrast settings. And some use these assistive technologies because of disabilities or impairments. Others just use them for preference or for convenience. Doesn't really matter. Either way, we want to provide you so that you can design and develop to create more usability, reduce friction, and increase access. Essentially, you're widening your customer base. So Fluent controls have built-in accessibility support for assistive technologies. At a basic level, with very little work, by manipulating a handful of properties and a little extra time, you can test your app against programmatic access, keyboard navigation, and color contrast to improve customer experiences for all your customers. Fluent is inclusive by design. And so we've done all the work. Our elements, controls are all accessible, and it's easier to make your experiences work for everyone. We invite you to please take a look at our inclusive design site here, and also take a look at our Dev Center guidance on accessibility as well. So as you've seen, we've been very busy evolving Fluent, and we want to help you and your customers do more. But we're not done. We're still looking forward to new challenges and new technologies. Here's a little bit about what we're exploring for the future. You've asked us how to make more intuitive and powerful applications. Well, we want to make AI work better for you with more intelligent contextual suggestions, or provide you with commanding that's more powerful with dockable panels. We want your customers to be more engaged. So how do we captivate users with more richer color and depth and extend our components to serve you better? And how can we be better on each device? We want to elegantly bridge 2D and 3D worlds and orchestrate between gaze, gesture, and touch. We also want to solve business challenges at scale with mixed reality. So moving forward, we're working with the entire company to provide you the toolbox that you need to address new challenges as they come. And that's why we're looking forward not only into the long term, but also into the short term as well. Chigusa, that was a lot about the future. Mm-hmm. What can people do right now after this talk?
Yes. Everything that you heard in this talk that Tim and I gave, you can find in guidance documentation. And if it's not there today, it will release to you with the corresponding feature release. And on each of these guidance documentation are feedback links that you can click to give us feedback, whether about the guidance documentation or the feature of that the guidance is talking about. We take your feedback very seriously, so please use this functionality to give us your feedback. And we also provide you with the sample application called XAML Controls Gallery that lets you install it from the store and experience some of those Fluent elements that you saw today. And you can download the code for this sample from GitHub to try it out yourself. And for those of you who are designers in the audience, we also have you covered. We provide you with the design toolkit to support tools like Sketch, Adobe XD, Adobe Illustrator, and many more. And as Tim mentioned earlier, our own design lead, Joy and Casey, spoke yesterday about how to use some of those tools to design your UI. So please check them out on the video. And as mentioned earlier, we have many breakout and theater sessions that is related to Fluent that is happening today and tomorrow to help you understand how you would apply this concept onto your applications. So we want you to go and learn more about making your application great. And so, Tim, this is what people can do at the conference today and tomorrow, but what can people do once they left the conference?
Sure. Well, we just want to keep learning more and more and more from you. So please make use of our developer and designer communities. We invite you to participate, share feedback, and play a critical role in this journey. Again, it's been an honor sharing the progress that we've made so far, and we can't wait to see what you create next. Thanks.